Hello, friends. Welcome to another episode of Tell Us a Good Story. Today, we get to talk to a retired NHL player and former head coach of the Columbus Blue Jackets, Coach Brad Larson.
You guys, this conversation was so much fun. I had so many questions to ask him about hockey, such as, are his teeth real?
Nope.
And how does fighting work in hockey? Does he have any good fight stories?
Yep.
Such as the story about his first professional hockey game when there were 33 fights, you guys.
And the story about him being a rookie in the NHL and trying to start a fight with his childhood hero, Mark Messier.
So funny.
But also, Coach Larson shares some incredible personal stories, such as his two bouts with cancer and how May 22nd, 2011 is what he calls the greatest day of his life. That was the day he was baptized and gave his life to Christ, and his life has never been the same.
You guys, this was such a fun conversation, and we can't wait for you to hear this episode with our new friend, Coach Brad Larson.
I'm Kevin.
And I'm Stephanie.
And during our marriage, we have dealt with an electrocution, a brain tumor, brain surgery.
Then doctors telling us that children were not in our future, followed by miscarriage, and then Kevin's cancer diagnosis.
However, today, we live a life completely healed and restored with three healthy children who doctors said were not possible. And we're here to tell stories that inspire, give hope, and brighten your day. Welcome to
Tell Us a Good Story.
Okay, friends, before we get to this episode, just a friendly reminder to please hit the subscribe button on YouTube and Apple Podcast or give us a review.
5 stars, please.
In our world, this is super, super important because it will help with the algorithm to make it easier for people to find us.
And thank you for sharing our post across your social media. That really helps with engagement and with us getting guests.
Yes. So, hey, if you want us to keep working our way up to talking to Chip and Joanna,
yes!
Please share us with your friends.
But regardless, thank you for listening to tell us a good story.
Steph, this is gonna be so much fun.
I love his voice. I love his voice.
Well, friends, our next guest is a professional hockey coach and former player who most recently served as the head coach of the Columbus Blue Jackets. And before coaching, he played over 8 seasons in the NHL with the Colorado Avalanche and the Atlanta Thrashers. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to Tell Us a Good Story, Coach Brad Larson.
Coach Brad Larson! We're so excited!
Thanks for having me, guys. I appreciate it.
You ready for this?
Coach? Oh, I'm ready. I've heard about you. I'm ready.
Really?
All in a good way.
Uh-oh. Oh, Coach, I'm so excited about this.
So, first off, Coach, thank you for saying yes to Steph and I. I'd like to share
Are you Canadian?
Oh, yeah.
Of course.
I can hear. Steph. I'm like, oh my gosh, he's Canadian. All I want to do is hear him talk.
Well, I've lived here now for... Yeah, I moved here when I was 19. I'm 46, so it's been a while.
But it's you still have it.
Yeah, it's funny because my parents will come and visit, and wow, are they Canadian? They everything's like right on A for sure. it's hilarious. I know why they make fun of us. I get it.
So
wait, can I ask my question?
Yes, go ahead. Steph's dying to ask you this, Coach.
Okay,
you go for it.
You are a former hockey player, so tell me. Yes, are ma'am. Your teeth real?
No, of course not. I mean,
really?
Not if you're a true hockey player. These front four, I lost. Well, you can't see it because I got a beard going, but I have a scar here. And it was, I believe, my second year pro. I was playing in the minors in the American League in Hershey. And we were on the road in Philly. And I was chasing down this defenseman. He swung his stick back. It ramped up my stick, hit me right in the mouth, split my lip open. I lost all these four teeth. And the fun about the American League is that you don't get to see a dentist for a little bit. It takes a little bit. We're on the road. So I lost these four teeth and all my four roots are hanging out.
Oh.
And there's bits of teeth in my mouth for the next couple of days. But so because we had 3 games in 3 days. So all I did was I would chew gum and I would pack the gum over the roots and the teeth. And that's how I lived for the next 2-3 days, because I mean, if you've ever had an exposed root, the sensitivity is torture. So if we could barely drink water, like when I was drinking water, it had to be kind of through the side or through a straw. And so, yeah, so these four, and the good news was they were actually crooked and this one was tucked in behind. So now they're all straight. So, you know, something good came out of it.
Okay. So when that happens, mm-hmm. Afterwards, is everyone looking, on their hands yes. and knees looking for teeth?
Like, go search for them.
Yes. How does that work?
These were shattered. There was no searching for them. It was like when it hit. I mean, they were more concerned. There was so much blood from the lip that got. So they were sewing that up. And then when I opened up, it was just. I mean, they were gone.
Oh, and my
not in like nice pieces. They were shattered.
Yeah.
So it literally was like there was pieces of tooth that you were spitting out all the rest of the game that night, like kind of rinsing out your mouth constantly for the next 2 days.
Is that the rite of passage for a true hockey player to lose
when they lose teeth?
I don't know if it's a rite of passage, but it happens. I mean, this is back, you know, I'm a little older. I'm 46. So we didn't wear mouth guards and I didn't wear a visor or anything like that. This was just full frontal, you know, it's exposed all the time. So back then it was very common occurrence, lose teeth and you know, face scars, all that stuff, right? That just kind of comes with the territory if you go far enough.
But Steph, how would you sleep for the next 3 days?
Being in that much pain.
There's no way.
There was lots of medication just to dull the pain. And you've broken fingers and toes,
right?
and had all that stuff in surgeries. But there's something about nerves mm-hmm. and teeth. And if anybody's ever had it, they understand how bad that is. Like, you know, a toothache's one thing, but when roots are exposed, it's like, that's another level.
Steph, I couldn't wait 33 days. I'd be like, okay, I quit. Get me to a hospital. Like, you got to fix this now.
Mm. When you don't have a choice, it is what it is.
Yep. Is that your worst injury that you had?
Oh, pain-wise?
Well, I mean, there's several times broken feet, you know, but you played through that. As long as it wouldn't get displaced, you could play through that. And broken fingers. Again, back then, you kind of just taped them together and they would cut your glove and maneuver that. So, you know, I broke my jaw. I took a slap shot to the face. It hit me here. This is in practice, actually. Hit me. I didn't see it coming. Hit me inside. And I dropped and got up and I was spitting blood, obviously. And the poor guy who did it, he was so apologetic. And I could barely talk. And I went off the ice immediately, went got x-rays. And they said, you know, you're fine. It hit me here. And he said, you're going to be okay. So I went the next week thinking my teeth had shifted and just was very sore from the impact. Well, my jaw here and my gum line started to swell so bad and bleed. Like I couldn't, all I could eat was mashed potatoes and milkshakes. And if I chewed, I could actually feel my jaw shift. And my assistant coach at the time said, look, you better go get looked at again. So I went back and they x-rayed here and it had cracked all the way down. Here. So I have a scar. You can't see it. There's a scar here. I actually have a plate and four screws in my jaw. They did surgery that next day, but for a week I'm practicing and thinking, got soreness. Oh, that was painful. That was one of the worst by far. Cause I didn't know and I didn't want to say anything and say, uh-huh. you know,
right.
But once they found the crack, they x-rayed the impact, but not where it, cause of the impact, it broke here.
Okay.
And so there was the next day with surgery and screws and plates and all that fun stuff.
So you mentioned other people hurting you with your teeth, with a slap shot. Mm-hmm. Have you knocked anybody else's teeth out?
Oh, it's possible by accident. You don't really know. It happens so quick. And yeah, you know, sticks are flying. You shoot pucks, they get deflected. Like, I mean, that's just part of hockey.
Yeah.
And so I'm sure it's happened by accident. And it certainly wasn't on purpose.
Certainly wasn't on purpose.
No,
so.
No, you couldn't have done that.
It couldn't have been.
Yeah. I'm a different man now. Maybe back then some of it was. Yes, that's a good point.
BC days, right? Yes. Before Christ for coaching.
Amen. Amen.
All right, Steph, I've got a question for you. What's your favorite book of all time?
Obviously, You Met Her Where?
Oh, I thought you were going to say the Bible.
Oh, oops.
What's your second favorite book of all time?
You Met Her Where?
A distant second.
Totally distant.
It's a pretty good book.
Sorry, God.
It's still a pretty good book. But we're so excited. Where can people get our book, honey?
Okay, I know this. Amazon.com.
Yes.
Barnes & Noble.
Yes. And?
And our website, kevinandsteph.com.
And what happens if they buy it off our website? What do they get?
An autograph from us.
Yes.
Who wouldn't want that?
So, listeners, if you've already read the book, thank you so much. We've had such good feedback. One thing that helps us, if you can give us a review on Amazon.com, we would greatly appreciate it. Thank you so much, and thank you for listening. Okay, so Steph and I do want to ask about another part of hockey.
Yes.
Fighting, all right? Mm-hmm. So, I'll tell you a quick story. So, the first hockey game I ever went to, I was in high school, and our church youth group took us to the old Columbus Chill. All right, okay. Which was like a minor league hockey team here in Columbus. This was actually right before the Blue Jackets came into town.
Mm-hmm.
Coach, there were so many fights in that minor league hockey game. Like, that's the only thing I remember. But I remember, like, just cheering him on. We're screaming. And our youth leaders, like, why? Whose idea was this? Why did we bring these teenage boys to see all these guys fight? Uh-huh. Right? So how does fighting work? Is it you look at somebody else? Is it you say something? How do you know if somebody wants to fight you?
Well, I think things have changed quite a bit from even when I came in the league and beforehand. There was like teams were built much differently. They had guys specifically, that's all they did. And
oh, really?
Yeah, they wouldn't play much, but they were really good at their craft. Let's put it that way. And that was fighting. So everybody kind of gets on fighting, and I understand it because of the dangers of it. I truly do know. But how many times have you been in an arena and seen people sitting on their hands when there's a fight? It just doesn't happen.
Never.
People get very, very excited. So there was times when you'd be down 2 or 3 nothing that somebody may go initiate and let the other guy know that, hey, we need to do this. And if whether he obliged or not, that guy was going to be in a fight. So there's many different formats of how it would occur. And gosh, before my time, there were so many tough guys. It really, like, it was almost terrifying when you walk in there. And you knew, like, you would be looking at the stats and looking at the penalty minutes and going, okay, this guy. You didn't have YouTube back then and could pre-scout their fights and see what they did. I'll share one story. My first ever pro game, this was an exhibition game. So I was in Hershey, Pennsylvania. So I was with Colorado Avalanche organization. And they had a doubleheader. So it was the minor league team playing Philadelphia. And then it was the NHL team playing after us, playing their NHL team. This is in the old Hershey Park Arena. So this is my first pro game. I remember the coach coming in going, hey, you know, like, just make sure you keep your head up. This could be a rough game. There's a big rivalry between the Philadelphia Phantoms and the Hershey Bears. And I'm like, all right, whatever, right? And none of the real veterans that were there last year playing, just a bunch of young guys. And they give us a little bit of a heads up on some of the guys that are playing on the other team. And I'm looking at warm up and I'm going, who are these guys?
Like, they're really,
they're, let's just say they're intimidating. So the game starts, I won't bore you with the details, but in that game, there's 33 fights and 3 line brawls. And there was only, I think there was only 4 or 5 guys left on the bench on each side at the end of the game. It took about 4.5 hours to play that game. They had to delay it because it was just fight after fight.
Oh my gosh. 33.
Yeah. The score was 4-3. I got in 2 fights, had 2 goals, 1 assist, and I was like, wow, this is my first pro game, and I'm thinking this is going to be a long year. The next game we played the next night against Syracuse, there was 8 fights, and I wasn't used to this. In junior, the Western League was a pretty tough league, but I was more of a scorer and had done some things, so I didn't really have to do much of that, but I found it real quickly that this is going to have to be part of your game a little bit if you're going to be in this league.
Oh my gosh, I didn't realize there were that many fights.
No.
In 3 full team on fights? Okay, so
yeah, this was egregious. This was way, way out of the norm.
Okay, so if I'm on the ice with you, coach, you drop your gloves. What happens if I pick them up and hand them back to you? Like,
that won't happen. As you're picking them up, you might be taking punches.
So what happens if once you fall, fight's over, right? The ref stops it.
I'd
right?
be laying down.
Yeah.
Like, you just drop
I'm
on the ice?
I'm just dropping. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, well. Yeah,
they probably pick you back up.
You really don't want to punch guys when they're down. There's some unwritten rules that you tend to follow. But again, sometimes there's anger. They're truly just they don't like each other, and maybe they fought several times. Maybe something dirty happened where they will. And this is where I feel for the linesman, because back then, I mean, they're jumping on guys trying to hold their arms, but if they're still swinging away, I've seen linesmen get hit with punches. I mean, it's not a fun job.
Oh. So one of the things I want to ask you about is the Columbus Blue Jackets Civil War cannon that they have in the arena, okay?
Yeah.
So every game I've been to, coach, that darn cannon scares me every single time. Like, I jump out of my seat.
You're not alone.
Oh, my gosh. So, listeners, if you've never been to a Columbus Blue Jackets game, they, in I think 2007, put the Civil War replica cannon in one of the corners of the arena, and they shoot it off. And it is, I mean, incredibly loud, where I know it's even coming, and I'm still jumping every single time. So did it still startle you, and how do the players feel about that thing going off? Because it is loud.
Yeah, I mean, it certainly jars you the first few times when you're not ready for it. I remember coming in as the visiting team when I was with Colorado, and kind of just, you know, it shocks you. It's intense. You feel it.
Yes.
My favorite stories are, I used to watch the warm-ups as an assistant coach all the time, and when they would come on the ice, you know, it'd be dark and they wouldn't be ready for it, and you'd see guys jumping. And the best is when, you know, Torch took over in Columbus, and I bet you the first four or five home games, he was never ready for it. He'd get on the ice, we'd walk on the bench, he'd be standing there, and it would go off. And he'd be like, and Torch would use some choice words, that cannon, you know? And I'm like, it'll get you. And so it got him four or five times straight, I think, his first four. It's pretty funny to watch.
Oh, it's so loud.
Is it fun for you to watch, like, the new guys who are not expecting
or the visiting team?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, you know, you get so used to it, but you forget when new guys come, or you watch the visitors if you're kind of glaring over the other side or looking, and you see them jump and you giggle because you've all been there a little bit. Yeah.
Okay, Coach, can you share the story with Steph of back in 2007 when you were playing for the Atlanta Thrashers in the NHL and you were going through the medical evaluation, right? What happened? Because this started quite the journey for you. Mm-hmm. Can you share that story with Steph?
How old were you when you went through this?
Oh, gosh.
I think I saw 29.
That'd be about right. Yeah, I would have been late 20s. So just ordinary physicals, doing that with camp. And first time it's ever happened. I've been a part of, since I was 15 with junior teams all the way to, you know, 13 years of playing pro. Medicals are very normal. You have ortho, you have dental, of course, right? You have all these things that you do, but this is the first time they had a dermatologist there, and it was completely voluntary and random. So there was a line for ortho. So I saw the dermatologist there, and I was like, you know what? Why not? Nobody's going to this guy, and I might as well get checked out. So sure enough, he checks me out, and so I go home and go through the day, and 2 days later, I get a call from my trainer, and he says, I need to talk to you, get down here right away. So I'm like, all right, what's going on? And he basically said, listen, the dermatologist called, he's got a major concern on one of the moles that they removed. It was right in my upper back, so it's not a place that I would ever see. And he's like, you need to see him right away. So it was about a 3-hour wait before my call. So of course, all the scenarios are running through your head, but I went down there after he called. He showed me on a chart, and there was a melanoma, pretty serious one, and I had surgery right there. He just put me on the table and had surgery right there and cut it out, and by God's grace, I was fine after that. It's a pretty good scar. It's a big Z, and they had to go pretty deep, but I mean, that was by the grace of God, because that never should have happened. Right. You know, and I certainly wasn't going to go on my own, and you know, who knows? I go another year. There's different stages, and I was teetering right on the borderline of stage 3, where, you know, he's like, this is where you're at. And he's like, that's why we're doing surgery now, not tomorrow. And I said, okay, yeah, whatever you got to do. So that was a pretty big wake up call. And yeah, that was certainly part of my journey. Not in a place of fear or scared of death, of more of just, is that a normal occurrence, you know?
And
that kind of set the wheels in motion a little bit in my life.
All right, Steph, I'm going to test you again here. What is your favorite book of all time?
Obviously, it's the Bible, Kevin.
Yes.
Nailed it.
Very good. This time you didn't say the book we wrote called You Met Her Where.
But it's still a really good book.
That is true.
And it would make a great gift for friends or relatives on their birthday or for Christmas.
Friends, you can order your copy of our book titled You Met Her Where at kevinandsteph.com. And we will make sure to personally sign a copy for you or whoever you want.
And as always, thank you for listening to Tell Us a Good Story. Fun facts.
All right, Coach. For all of our guests, I like to give a list of fun facts to let listeners know what you've done, what you've accomplished. And Steph is not aware of any of these. Okay, so you're going to see her reaction, Coach, to these.
I might be reacting genuinely, too. You never know.
And if I'm wrong on any of these, please correct me. Let me know. All right, Steph, ready?
Yeah.
Fun fact number one. Coach Brad here apparently was drafted twice in the NHL draft. Mm. He was drafted by the Ottawa Senators round 3, number 53 mm-hmm. overall in the 1995 NHL draft. And then he was drafted by the Colorado Avalanche in 1997 in round 4. So, Coach, what is the draft experience like as an athlete? Are you watching TV the whole time? Is it stressful? Are you excited? Do you get ticked off when somebody you think you're better than gets drafted ahead of you? How's that experience like?
It's different. I mean, you know, the first time I went to the draft in 95 and, you know, I had an idea of where I could get drafted. It could be late first round. It could all be slip all the way to third. There was less teams back then too. So you're watching guys go ahead of you. And of course, when you're young, you're like, wow, I was as good as that guy. I'm better than that. You know, you have no idea. You think you're much better than you are, probably a very inflated view of yourself, but so it's hard, like especially the first round is very dragged out, and I never went in the first round, and then day two starts, and so obviously getting your name called, it's a thrill. My parents were there, and it was a big day, and you're part of an organization, and so how that happened transpires. I got traded. It was a year and a half later. I was at World Junior, so I was playing for Team Canada. We had won gold medal, and that was an awesome experience. Came back, and I got traded to Colorado. So at the end of the season, they flew me into Detroit with my parents and my agent to watch a game because that was a big rivalry. So they did this kind of presentation. And I left there going, gosh, I don't think I'm ever going to make this team. They were so good. And, you know, the Joe Sakics and Peter Forsbergs and all these young players that maybe you may or may not have heard of, but they're Hall of Famers, All-Stars. I just didn't see a fit. And I talked with my agent. So we respectfully declined their offer. And it wasn't a money thing. It wasn't, there was no animosity. I don't see me playing. So I decided to go back and not sign and go back in the draft. Well,
okay.
They left a little caveat with my agent and said, hey, listen, if you're available where we think we can get you, we will draft you again. And I'm like, there's no chance they're going to do that. Right. So I didn't go to that draft. I actually was on a trip to Mexico and I landed, called my parents. I'm like, hey, so what happened? They're like, well, you're not going to believe it, but they redrafted you. And I'm going, oh my.
Really? And I didn't know that. And it was same team.
Yeah. Same team. They redrafted me. So it turned out great. I'm so, so thankful I got to be part of that organization and that team. But at the time I'm going, what just happened? I'm thinking it's devastating, right? You know, a young guy, you have no idea. So that's how it happened. They used me as an example when guys wouldn't sign. I found out later on, if you don't want to sign, we may draft you again. You know, we did it with Brad Larson. And so I was kind of the poster child of you may not get away free.
That's wild.
But it's also really cool because it just shows you how much they wanted you. You know, so that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, that's how I took it, I'm sure. Yeah, they just really, really wanted me. Yeah.
All right, Steph, fun fact number two. During his playing career, Brad played for the Hershey Bears, Chicago Wolves, and Portland Pirates in the AHL, which is the minor league for the NHL, okay? Before going on to play for both the Avalanche and the Atlanta Thrashers in the NHL. So, Coach, one of my old bosses at JPMorgan Chase, he played hockey for Ohio State. And apparently he was like the enforcer for the Ohio State hockey team. Got kicked out of the Big Ten tournament for a cheap shot on one of the other teams. But during a conversation with him, he told me, behind the scenes, most hockey players are a little nuts, a little crazy.
Yeah.
So you played a lot of games in the minor leagues. What's one of the crazier things you saw? And you actually kind of, you may have mentioned it earlier with that 33 fight game, but what's one of the crazier things you saw with a teammate or something behind the scenes, Coach?
Yeah, I think that's definitely up there because that experience, that shocked me. I mean, I was expecting it to be rough, but not 33 fights and three line brawls rough. So that was like, wow, what did I get myself into a little bit? I guess one other experience we had was one time we were getting ready to play. This was in the morning. We're getting to play, and I can't remember the team, so pardon me on that. But there was a trade, and it was a guy off that team, and he brought his bag, walked across the hall, got in our room, and he played that night against his former team.
Really?
No.
Yeah, no joke. Yeah, that was it. He brought his suitcase. He brought his bag over, and he ended up playing that night. He was a defenseman playing against the team that he had traveled there with. We played against him that night. So that was a welcome to the league, kid, and this guy.
Wow.
That's
like,
crazy.
Now you're playing against all your friends. Like, hey, Bill. Yeah. Hey, Jim.
You showed up that morning thinking we're playing the Bears, and all of a sudden you're with the Bears playing your team. And I can't remember who it was or who the team was. But
Because, he would walk across the ice. He would have had all of his old team's hockey gear.
He had to get all his gloves. Yeah, he came over and they gave him all the gear. This was
a new
in the
bag.
Morning, obviously late morning. Yeah, the whole thing. Just a strange circumstance. That doesn't happen often, obviously, but that was a very strange circumstance.
That's crazy.
All right, Steph. According to HockeyDB.com and HockeyReference.com, because I had to double check this stat, Coach Brad here played one game for the Colorado Avalanche during the 1997-98 NHL hockey season. How do you play one game, Coach? You played 6 minutes, I believe, this game. They call you up, and then after the game, like, hey, thank you for your service. You can go back now. Yeah. Like, how does that work?
So that was my first NHL game ever. I'll never forget it. It was an off day in Hershey.
Okay.
I was actually at the gym. There's a local gym there that we used. And so I was just having a light workout. I get an announcement over the PA system. This is back. You're not carrying cell phones around and doing all that, right? You know, I'm aging myself. But so, hey, would Brad Larson come to the front desk? And I'm like, oh, what's going on? I'm thinking something bad, right? You know, did somebody die? Or so I get on the phone and it's my head coach. And he's like, Lars, you just got called up. I'm like, whoa. I mean, my heart just dropped. And he's like, your flight leaves in 90 minutes. You got to hurry. So, I mean, I raced home, grabbed a couple suits, right to the rink, off to the airport. Luckily, made my flight. So my first game was in San Jose, and I had to fly. So you're going Hershey, Pennsylvania, across the country.
Yes.
All the way to San Jose. And it was I think it was a noon or 1 o'clock game the next day. I didn't care. I mean, I could have played with no sleep. It wouldn't have mattered. And so I got there and got dressed. And as I'm, this is great. So I wore a suit, of course, to travel in. And then I had a suit with me. This is a brand new suit, a pinstripe suit. I just bought it in Philly. There's a King of Prussia mall. And so I spent a bunch of money on the suit. Well, in all my excitement, I left it on the plane. And I never recovered that suit, never got it back. I went to the game, played a game, and it was just a one game thing. I did, obviously, you don't know at the time how it's going to be, but it was somebody I think became ill or got an injury in practice. So that was my first NHL game. And Mark Crawford was the head coach. I will never forget him putting me on the ice there was like 2 minutes left. We're up by a goal. And I'm going, what am I doing out here right now? You know, just terrified. But I got that first one in. I remember I got to call my parents and go, look, no one can ever take that away from me. I've made it. I played my first NHL game, and it took a while to get back, but to see your name and be in the lineup and get an NHL game, that was something that I'll never forget.
Okay, so when did they tell you then, Coach? All right, hey, thank you for coming to San Jose. Go ahead and jump on the flight back.
Yeah, right after the game.
As soon as the game's over.
Yeah, well, yeah, it was right over. Yeah, it was done. And hey, your flight leaves tomorrow. I'm like, I didn't even care. I was like, I just played a game in the NHL and we won. And it was thrilling. So I'm like, no problem. I was more worried about I just brand new suit. I never got to wear. I actually went back to that same store the next week and bought the same suit. No joke.
Steph, what is one of the most asked questions we get about tell us a good story?
Do I really get that excited?
Besides that one.
Oh, how do we get all these incredible guests?
Correct. Yes. And some of our best conversations have been with guests who our listeners have reached out to us and said, you should talk to this person. To name just a few, Nick Vujicic, Coach Tom Ryan, Carol Motika were all recommendations from our listeners.
So if there's someone you would like us to interview and think they might be a great fit for Tell Us a Good Story, please let us know at kevinandsteph.com. You don't even have to personally know them.
True, but do me a favor. Before you submit their names, please make sure they are still alive. That has actually happened, and it is super hard for me to find their contact information.
But regardless, thank you for listening to Tell Us a Good Story. Okay, you have mentioned so many amazing moments in your hockey career, from the 33 fights to playing your first NHL hockey game to winning gold with Team Canada. What's been your most amazing memory as a hockey player?
It's hard to narrow it to one. It really is, because I was 13 years pro hockey as a player, minors in NHL. I was 13 years as a coach too, and there's a lot of different moments and obviously different places in your life when you're in one sport. This is the first year I haven't been in pro hockey in 26 years. So 26 straight years I was in pro hockey. And so what we just talked about, that first game, that was a highlight, because you're a small kid, hometown kid in Armstrong, British Columbia, this tiny place in the middle of nowhere, and you actually made it. You're going, wow, I made it, you know? And so that was thrilling. My first goal, ironically, was in San Jose years later. I hadn't scored in the first like 50 games. This is how bad I was. I never scored a goal. It took me 52 games, I think, to score my first NHL goal. I finally scored. That was in San Jose. So I was fortunate to play for my country three times.
Wow.
So I played for Team Canada under 18 team. We won a gold medal. I was captain of that team, so that was a big honor. And then the next year, I won World Juniors, won gold medal. Then the next year, played World Juniors again for Team Canada, and I was captain of that one, won a gold medal. So anytime you can play for your country, that was an amazing. And we were spoiled. We won all three times, so my memories are great from that experience, yeah. Right? So that was great. I would say, like, my first head coach win in the American League was awesome. Just to, you know, you're switching gears, and I knew I wanted to retire, and I was ready to actually my last year pro, and you know, I was diagnosed with testicular cancer, believe it or not. I didn't share that with anybody, so we lost in the first round, and I was still playing. So we ended up, I went through radiation and surgery, all that stuff, and then I was ready to retire. I wanted to quit. I was so excited about coaching, but I really wanted to quit. And I was fortunate to get the job. So I got, Columbus hired me as assistant coach in the minors. And so that was a big moment, just being the first time head coach. And then coming to the NHL, I think, and I'll never forget this moment with Torts and our coaching staff when we beat Tampa Bay in that first round.
Yes.
And in most hockey circles, it wouldn't be a big deal, right? You're like, gosh, it's round one. Like, you just get over it. It's not, but just the idea that Tampa Bay, they just set records. I mean, they destroyed the league. We had played them four games in the regular season. I think they outscored us 21-3. Mm. We were supposed to get swept and swept bad. It wasn't the other way around. And we just built momentum every game in that series. And the guys were just galvanized. It was awesome to watch. And the real joy was game four in Nationwide. Nobody sat the whole game. My dad was at the game. He couldn't see it to watch on the Jumbotron because he had heart issues and he has to sit and watch. He couldn't stand the whole game. But the energy was just, and I've been to some big games. I was in game seven in Colorado when we won the Stanley Cup and Ray Bourque won his first cup. That wow. energy was special. Mm. This was right up there. So we score an empty net goal and another empty net goal. So as a coach, you can actually enjoy the moment. You're not terrified they're going to come back. I think we're up by 3 or 4 at that point with only 2 minutes left. And to watch the fans, to watch the crowd, like, people were crying, people were hugging. Like, it literally felt like we won the Stanley Cup. That's what it was like. So I'll never forget that moment and just sitting in the room with the coaches and Torts and our group sitting there, and Torch looking over, he's like, what did we just do? And I'm yes. like, I don't know. Like, we couldn't. You're in the series and it's intense, and we know every game as we win, like, we can't let them win because they could get back in the series in a heartbeat, right? They're that good. And we just never gave them any life. And it was over, and you're going, wow, did that just happen? You know, yeah. So that was pretty special. And then getting named to head coach myself, you know, and mm-hmm. On a personal level, you know, to climb the mountain twice is how I've put it. You know, I made it as a small kid in the NHL and was fortunate enough to carve a little career, and then retired and built it again and was able to get to the top again. And really, there's only, at that time, there's only 31 head jobs in the world, right? It's not like there's 700 yes. jobs as a player. So it yeah. even got harder. And obviously, it never ends how you want it to end, and not many guys do, but that's the business. But to get there twice and to do that, those moments are all special to me.
Mm, I love that.
Okay, so with your dad having a heart issue, mm-hmm. please tell me he's not sitting near that cannon.
Well, I warned coach. Him. I warned him, yes, and he knew. So, yeah, it's definitely a risk.
All right, like he just said, on June 10th, 2021, Coach Larson was named the 8th head coach in Columbus Blue Jackets history. However, after just 2 seasons, the Blue Jackets made the decision to move on after the regular season ended. Mm-hmm. So 26 years, 13 playing, 13 coaching. So 2009-2010 hockey season was Coach Brad's last as a professional hockey player. He played in 294 games over 8 seasons in the NHL. So during your playing career, Coach, you were not known as a man of faith.
No.
after playing, what led you to Christ?
You know, everyone always points to the cancer. I have 2 bouts with cancer. And honestly, that wasn't really it. I remember sitting in my apartment in Colorado, and this was in the summer, and finally it kind of made the NHL. And, you know, you have a nice car, you got some things, you got a little bit of money. I wasn't making like millions of dollars by any means. I was making bare league minimum. But for a young guy, I didn't have a family. It's plenty of money, right? But you go home and everyone's telling you how great you are. But it was like, I was sitting there going, something's missing. Cause I just, and I know what it is now. I just didn't have peace. I didn't have God in the middle of it. And So it put me on that journey of just searching. Okay, well, what is this religion thing, or what does that look like? And you start to invite God in. God's always there, but all of a sudden he starts to reveal some things. And you know, I was fortunate enough to meet my wife in Atlanta, and she was a Christian, and he had a major influence in that. My last year pro, I played with a guy who was a Christian, and he I remember him standing up, and he was like, "Hey, Hockey Ministries will be here every Thursday. If you guys want to start coming to chapel, you can go." And I was like, "Yeah." I remember I went to one chapel. I was terrified because I didn't understand what they're talking about, and they're talking about the Bible and, like, you know, all these, the Gospels. I had no clue what any of this stuff was, so I didn't go for a week or two, and then I went back, and then I went back, and then I went back again. So between my wife, Joe DePenta, who was my teammate at the point, really helped me in that, and the journey just kind of, I didn't hit rock bottom. I didn't have anything, like, tragic. I wasn't, you know, nothing crazy happened. My wife, I remember, I believe it was her birthday, I remember waking up and saying, like, I'm ready to give myself to Christ. And she's like, "Really? Are you sure?" I'm like, "Yeah, I'm ready." And there was a lot of events in there. And again,
yeah, I'm sure.
So I did that. But then May 22nd, 2011, that's the date I have in my head. And that's when I got baptized. And I had her father baptize me in a pool in Georgia in front of all her family. And I, you know, I cried and was all emotional. And I remember waking up the next day just completely terrified, going, "What have I done? You know, what have I done? What, you know, I knew what I'd done, but what have you done? You know, you have this image and this persona." Like you said, I was not a Christian for
right
much of my career. So you can imagine, you know, my thought process and my goals and values. And so the scary part was going, okay, how do I associate with my teammates? Now, how do I tell them? How do I, you know, it was all this stuff. I remember my wife gifting me a Bible, and I'm staring at it going, "What do I do with that? Like, what is that?" It was like a giant coaster to me, you know. Like, I just put my coffee on it. But her dad was great. He's like, "You know, read the Gospels." And I'm like, "Okay, well, tell me what the Gospels are, you know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John." And then he's like, "Well, just start in John." His best advice, I'll never forget it, was just get to know Jesus. He's like, don't worry about understanding everything. Don't worry about, you know, there's going to be lots you won't. But just get to know who Jesus was. And so I started thumbing through John, and that kind of started the journey. And that journey still goes today.
If you like what you hear, please tell someone about us. As soon as this episode is over, go tell your spouse, your closest friend, a parent, a coworker, or share one of our posts on social media.
However, if you don't like what you're hearing, please do not.
Don't tell anyone.
Don't tell anyone.
Don't tell anybody.
Just disregard this message.
Don't worry about
it. Forget about us.
Yep.
Go on with your merry day.
And to get more information about us or our entire catalog of episodes, be sure to check us out at KevinandSteph.com. Thank you for listening to Tell Us a Good Story.
All right, Steph, final fun fact. Coach Larson is married to his wife, Hannah. They have two children. He now coaches his son's youth hockey team.
Yeah.
Okay. So, Coach, first off, I think you're the world's most overqualified youth hockey coach.
Overpaid, too.
But if I'm on the other team, right, this feels a little bit like Mighty Ducks versus the Hawks, right?
Yes.
So how are the other team's coaches? Are they trying to impress you? Are they going over the top? What?
Are they getting your autograph?
Yes. Like, how does that work with the other youth parents with you?
No, it's certainly not like that. I certainly won't speak for other coaches and what they're doing. But first of all, let's get it clear. I'm one of the assistant coaches. I am not the head. And he asked me to do it. So we're doing it together. It's been a thrill. Amazing. And yeah, just really enjoyed the opportunity to coach my son and be with him every day. And we've got to go to tournament stuff that you never get to do because you're so busy, right? Like, in the years, I might catch 4 or 5 games if I'm lucky, you know. And now I've been to every game. And we've been to all the tournaments, and you get this incredible quality time. And you know, my wife and my daughter stay back because we have a little farm, and we rescue horses. So we have horses, and we got dogs and cats. So somebody has to be around. So they're doing all the work. But it's just been, it's been awesome. I mean, people have been very respectful, and the kids have been awesome. And crazy as it sounds, I had never coached that level. So I've only coached pro hockey. So it took me a while to figure out, what can we do here? Because in our league here, we only get half ice practices too. Like, you share the ice.
Right.
You get 50 minutes, and I'm going, what are our capabilities? Like, what do you actually teach an 11-year-old or 12-year-old?
Why can't these kids skate backwards?
Yeah, the scale is a system. It's a whole new world that I've been introduced to. And, you know, I've been learning on the fly from my other coaches, from the kids. So there's lots to learn here.
Oh, are you strapping on your skates and, like, competing.
Oh, you have to.
With the kids.
Not competing. Oh, skates are on every practice. I enjoy it. See, I get to get on the ice. And again, everyone's like, oh, do you miss playing? I'm like, not one bit. I mean, when I left the game, I was done. My body had been 3 or 4 or 5 surgeries, whatever it was, and it was enough. But just to get on the ice, I still love the game. And just to, you know, shoot a puck here and there, pass, converse with the kids, it's that part of it I really enjoy.
Well, Steph, anything else you want to ask before we let Coach go here?
Like, I would love to ask so many things, but I don't want to, like, annoy him.
Respectful of his time here. Yes, yes.
Go for it. I'm here.
Do you have anything else, Steph?
Did you ever play against Wayne Gretzky?
Oh.
I don't think I ever I tried. Even my son was asking because he retired in 99. And I don't think I ever got the chance. I was mostly in the minors from 98 to 2001. So we never crossed paths, which is unfortunate because my favorite team growing up was the Oilers, Edmonton Oilers.
I bet.
But my favorite player, ironically, was Mark Messier and Wendell Clark. But I remember I had that kind of aha moment my first full year in the NHL. I was skating around in Madison Square Gardens and I'm stretching at the red line and I look over and it's Mark Messier doing the same stretch. And I'm like, oh my Lord, there he is. I was actually starstruck. I tried to fight him actually the third
period.
Yeah. And he kind of just looked at me and he had me around my throat. And I'm like, you want to go? And I didn't really want to because I knew I was going to lose. But I'm like, man, what a story if I fought him. And he didn't even say a word. He just kind of stared at me like, you don't want any of this. And that was it. And I was like, I was kind of thankful he did.
You don't want this smoke, but it young was, man.
No, and I would have got smoked. Like, he had a grip on me and I'm like, wow, he's got me strong, you know, but I was like, you want to go? And he's like, no kid. Like I've won 5 Stanley Cups and you're some punk trying to make a name. Right. So I was very thankful he didn't actually.
Does your son feel
pissed? Hey, wait, I thought we didn't have any more questions.
I know, but you kept talking, so I'm like,
let
me keep asking my questions.
You're right. We got some time.
So does your son feel pressured being your son?
Oh, yeah.
No, I don't think so. I think he handles it really well. And with him, I was very intentional not to coach him growing up. Like, I didn't want him to play hockey because I did. He started about 4 or 5 years ago. He really started to, I guess, connect with the players and, you know, and have them drink a little bit. As far as coaching, like we go on the ice, there was no coaching. He was that kid when he first joined a team 2-3 years ago. He had no clue what to do on the ice. He had no clue drills. And I remember talking to the coach going, listen, I have intentionally not coached him. So he's raw. Like, he is raw. But you know what? He's actually a pretty good little player. And but what I love about him, he just enjoys playing. Like he loves to come to the rink and play. And you know, if God pulls him towards that way, that's fine. You know, part of me doesn't even want him to go that route because I know all the hardship that comes with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep,
I lived it. But then, you know, at the end of the day, that's not my decision. And I'll support him any way he wants. And we'll let God kind of make those deciding factors for him.
I forget already. Did you go to college?
No. Yeah, so a little different back then. So I got drafted when I was 18, and then I played one more year, and then I turned pro at 19, started playing in the minors, yeah.
So you went right to the minors.
Yep.
Can you imagine that schedule, just traveling nonstop?
Yeah.
I left home at 15 to pursue hockey.
For the juniors?
Yeah, I was playing the leagues, really. I was one of the better players younger. Obviously, like most guys in the NHL, and kind of outgrew that quickly. Yeah. And so there was a junior team and I went and played junior. It was about 4 or 5 hours from home, lived with a billet family at 15 years old. Yeah, crazy. Playing against 21-year-olds.
Was that a hard decision to make for not only you, but your parents?
Well, see, you don't know any better. Like, as a 15-year-old, I'm like, yeah, let's do it. Why not? Why wouldn't I? You know, but now being a parent, my daughter's 14. I'm like, no chance.
Yeah.
There's no way. I told my parents, I go, what were you thinking? You walk out the door.
Why would you let crazy? Me go?
Are you crazy? Do you understand how messed up I am because of that? You know, so it's kind of ironic as you get older and you look at your own kids and I'm like, no chance.
There's no way.
You know, just knowing what the world's about and knowing what my values are and our values as a fan, it's totally different now. It's not, you know, my goal as a kid, I want to play in the NHL. That was it.
Yeah.
Well, that's not my goal for my son. That's not my goal for my daughter. It's like, okay, I want you to be grounded in your faith and that's, then whatever you do, whatever. So,
hey, I was going to ask you earlier, Coach, where do you keep your gold medals at?
I gave them to my dad. So I got 3 gold medals and 3 rings, but I gifted them all to my dad years ago. That stuff now, That it doesn't mean
doesn't
much,
matter, right?
No, it doesn't, and it's not because they weren't fun. They were great. I mean, I would look at them again, and probably my son would get a kick out of them, you know, and the rings. But it's more about that team coming together and doing it as a group, and what they went through, and how challenging that is.
Well, Coach, thank you so much for coming on here with us. Tell us a good story.
Absolutely.
God bless you, sir. And I'm excited to see just the next steps, right, that God has for you and your family. Mm. And we'll be keeping your family, your wife, in our prayers for
Absolutely.
Sure.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much. Yeah, no, this is kind of the exciting time is what's in store. So we'll see.
Friends, we want to encourage you to please follow us wherever you listen to this, whether it's on the Apple Podcast app, iHeartRadio, Spotify, or one of the other platforms.
You guys, it's completely free. And while you're there, feel free to give us a rating or a nice review.
Thank you for listening to
Tell Us a Good Story.